from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guys, it's official. The Cubs announcing moments ago that they've acquired third baseman Isak Paredes from Tampa Bay for Christopher Morel, and right-handed pitcher Hunter Biggie and right-handed pitcher Ty Johnson, two prospects. Pat?
There it is. Once Zach Zaidman reports it, you know it's real. Sahadev Sharma is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma, Cubs beat reporter for The Athletic. Also the co-host of Northside Territory on the Foul Territory TV network, available on your favorite podcast platform. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, Sahadev.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We are doing really well. When you got wind of this, what was your first impression of this deal?
Yeah, I mean, it took me aback. It was certainly surprising. I don't think anybody... Listen, I heard what Jed said on Monday, and I believe Carter Hawkins kind of reiterated that on your airwaves. They're not looking just to improve in 2024. They're looking for ways to get better beyond this season, right? So it makes sense in that regard. I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't think they'd be this aggressive in trying to do so. It makes a ton of sense. You're getting work done that can be done in the offseason now. And I assumed those opportunities just wouldn't be there, or the cost would be so excessive that it wouldn't make sense, because teams get aggressive at the deadline. Teams overpay at the deadline. That's part of business at the deadline. And teams that are in contention right now see value in guys like Paredes and say, we need him to win the World Series this season. The Cubs are, you know, technically still in it, but they're squarely looking at 25 and 26 and trying to improve this team. I think it's a really smart move to get ahead of things. And now you've got kind of a cost-controlled third baseman and one thing checked off your wish list.
But what does it mean about their conclusions drawn from the Morel third base experiment?
Yeah, I mean, it was clear that had he improved, sure. Was he a rock at third? No. There were plenty of questions there. I mean, his last game there I thought was really good. He looked really good every play that he made. I was like, huh, that's pretty nice. It's good to see those type of steps. But there wasn't any grand conclusion that, yes, he is locked in at third. We're confident that he can handle this. There were questions as recently as a month ago as what kind of changes are they going to have to make there? There was a reason when Talkman was out and Bellinger was hurt that Miles Mastroboni was getting so much time at third base. It's an obvious upgrade defensively. It was hurting them at times. It was costing them runs. Christopher Morel puts in the work. He has all the talent in the world. He just hadn't gotten to a point where they could really trust him there. And yeah, that's clearly part of why they made this move. They need to feel a little more certain about their defense. And Paredes, he's not an elite glove there, but he's an average to slightly above defensive third baseman.
You and I were kind of in the same space on this, Sahadev, with Morel, where all of the things that you'd want him to do at the plate, he was doing, and they weren't netting results. From everyone that you've talked to at the Cubs about this, because I know it's been perplexing them too, where do they think they went wrong, and why did they think it wasn't happening? Is it just explained away by the BABIP gods?
Yeah, I think you can point to that for the first 2 months. It was crazy, right? We all agree on that, I think, that it was some of the contact he was making and not getting results for, not getting rewarded for that has to be maddening. And my concern during all of that was Yes, I get the expected stats. I agree with them. I think he should have had better numbers for the first 2 months of the season. My concern is the mental wear that it has on a player when you're not getting the results. It's really hard to stick to the process. It's really hard to just go up there and say, I know I'm hitting line drives. I know what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to do, and go up and see that you're hitting 199, right? That's not easy for anybody. He did a pretty good job of it. I do believe lately, the past month or so, he started to chase a little bit more. He started to swing and miss a little bit more. I know Jesse Rogers got a lot of heat for it, but it did seem like he wasn't really going with the ball and trying to take it the other way. And he was swinging for the fence at the time. That's just Christopher Morel's swing too. You know, he swings hard. He tries to put the ball over the fence on every swing. So not everybody adjusts and has a two strike approach. That's fine. That's how baseball is nowadays. But yeah, I think the Rays clearly believed in the expected stats. I think that's hard to deny. They see upside here. I think it's hard to ignore that there's upside there. But the bottom line is Paredes gets results, and he has. This is a third year in a row. He's a plus-plus bat in the league. And Morel just wasn't getting them this year. And now you not only do you get results from Paredes, but you get a strong defensive third baseman. This could look bad in a couple of years. Morel could reach his potential offensively. Wouldn't be the first time the Rays tapped into someone's potential and made them into a star. But I think it's a move that they kind of felt they had to make, and it makes their offseason a little easier and probably improves the team overall this season.
I thought it was notable, Sahadev, that the Cubs were able to sweeten the deal with value found in developed pitchers, where they were able to have some guys that weren't top-of-the-line draftees that they said, all right, here's a guy who throws 100, went to Harvard, may not have any idea where the ball's going half the time, but he throws 100. And this is the kind of thing where early in the Theo Epstein regime, it was just developing pitchers wasn't even a priority. It was a total afterthought. And is this in any way a victory for the pitching development machinery to be able to create guys?
I think that's a good point. I think you can point to the fact that you nailed it with this was an issue prior to in the prior regime, right? They didn't have the type of depth where they could make moves like this and not feel like they didn't give up a top 30 prospect to get Isak Paredes. That's pretty impressive. I know they gave up Morel, but no top 30 prospect from their system. They have that type of depth where teams are interested in what else they have. I think Ty Johnson was a 15th rounder. It was after the 10th round. If you're giving up prospects that after the 10th round, you're able to entice people to take those types of guys. Hunter Biggie, very great story. And I think he is going to be a good reliever probably soon. But you're giving up a reliever and then a high A pitcher who, you know, those guys don't have the probability of him turning into a starter isn't that high. I mean, that's exactly what this team was missing. You miss out on deals when you don't have this type of depth. This is the reason they couldn't pull off moves for Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Mookie Betts. I mean, name anyone that didn't require a superstar prospect to be acquired, but, you know, it's a really talented veteran bat. They missed out on those guys because they didn't have the depth in their system. Now they can make these types of moves. When teams like the Rays like your prospects, and they may not be your top 5, top 10, top 20 prospects, great. Move them and get and acquire impact talent right away. That's what this team needs to be doing. This is the type of trade I've been on the watch for about a year now. They should be making trades like this because they have depth. Just like the Nate Pearson trade, they need to make more trades like that because you can't have all these guys on your 40-man roster. It's going to clutter up the system. You need to make moves to help you now. Yeah, you need to have a strong farm, but there needs to be a balance there. And that's why these types of moves make sense.
Is there any worry because Paredes is so pull heavy that he will continue to evolve as an offensive hitter?
Yeah, it's absolutely a legitimate concern. My question about that is, well, first of all, listen, the Cubs are aware of all that stuff, and it isn't as simple as overlaying his home runs onto Wrigley Field, because that doesn't account for the weather. The weather, and that could impacted negatively. It could impact it positively, depending on the day. We all know what Wrigley Field is like. It's weird. It doesn't make sense at times. But if the big thing is he's not a lefty, he's a righty pulling the ball. At Wrigley right now, where lefties get crushed more than righties. If you pull the ball as a lefty, it's going to hurt you. But there's often, more often than not, if it's blowing in, it's kind of that right to left, right? So that actually kind of helps a strictly pull hitter that's righty. That can help them. It blows, there's also that dead spot with the wind in the left center gap. I don't think he's not going to get as many cheapies at Wrigley, but look at his road numbers. They're perfectly solid. He's going to be fine, I think. And I also think the Cubs have enough data and enough information that they know what they're doing here. They're not going to just, they have the obvious StatCast information that we all have access to and better stuff. I'm very curious. I've let people know in the front office, hey, I know you're busy with trades. I want information on this and your side of the story on this, so I'm better informed. Talked to a couple people already. Council immediately answered my question about that and said, pulling the ball in the air is a skill that's really hard to master. It is a good thing. He wants guys that can do that. I talked to Ian Happ a little bit about it, and he said it's better for righties at Wrigley. And he believes it he won't be impacted. I've talked to scouts on other teams that agreed Wrigley's not like a death knell for him. There are other places that would have been worse. Wrigley is not as bad as some people are making it out to seem just because they saw the StatCast data that said his numbers are lower there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We were talking about names to watch as we get closer to the deadline. I'm sure you're hearing the same that I am, that Jameson Taillon's name continues to be one of those under discussion. And if we're circling guys for whom to look out, I know he's scheduled to start tonight. So if he goes tonight, no deal, right?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. I wouldn't say that, but I would. From my understanding, nothing's changed. He's starting. I think they'd have to be bowled over. I also think it would be kind of a mistake to move him if you're trying to win in 25. There's just so much risk involved in it. This isn't a situation where Jordan Wicks and Ben Brown are healthy. Javier Assad is dominating. Like, they don't have the depth, at least the certainty in depth. They have depth. But I don't feel comfortable with those guys just yet. They're too many guys are hurt. Too many guys are inconsistent right now. Their starting pitching is great, but Taillon is kind of the heart and soul of that group. And you're likely going to lose Kyle Hendricks. This is your veteran that you can lean on that kind of leads the group, is a good clubhouse guy, and he gets results. I mean, it's been a year plus now. He had a bad start. They identified what was wrong. And they fixed it. They nailed it. They did a really good job with it. And now he's a really good starter. He's a really reliable starter. I think it's a big risk. But here's the counter to that. Teams are desperate for pitching. Teams want starting pitching. If you're bowled over, you have to make the move. And I feel that similarly with some of these relievers, Mark Leiter Jr. in particular. Mark Leiter Jr. is under control for 2 more years. He's been dominant. Don't look at that 4+ ERA. There's a stretch there. If you go look at the data on how he pitched when he pitched poorly, quote unquote, it was such bad luck. Everything was on the ground, sneaking through, no hard contact, ton of strikeouts. And now he's healthy. His arm isn't barking anymore. And he looks dominant out there. Go look. I mean, you guys have seen what relievers have gone for on this market. If they can get something like that, there are teams that are going to be well aware of how good Mark Leiter Jr. is. And I would expect them to pay up. I'd be a little surprised if they don't get a haul for him, but they're not going to give him away. They're not in the business of giving anyone away, especially someone that's available to them next year. They absolutely want to win next year, and you know, they want to compete or stay relevant the rest of this season.
If you're Matt Shaw, how do you feel this morning?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I don't know how comfortable they felt with him developing at third. I think they'd tell you that there was progress there. I don't think it was a lock that he was going to play third. But I wouldn't assume that they're done making moves or that this infield is locked in. I like Nico Hoerner a lot. Elite defender, average bat that's going to put the ball in play regularly. But is he more valuable being moved and calling Matt Shaw up? Do you move Isak Paredes to second base? And they just have options now, right? They have a lot of options because Isak Paredes, they trust him defensively a little more than they did with Morel. So they can move him around the infield if they want to. They can do different things in the offseason. If they want to hold on to Nico, obviously that'll work, right? You have an elite defensive middle infield, and you can make that work. But they can do different things. This is a front office that looks at everything in terms of value, right? Like, that nobody's untouchable, because if you offer the right deal, they will make that move or at least consider it. So I wouldn't take anything really off the table, but there's a path for Matt Shaw. They love Matt Shaw. I don't think that's changed. They're really high on his bat. There were some concerns that some things happened with early on with some swing and miss, but he's kind of rectified that, and he's back to being the player that they kind of expect him to be. And he's red hot at AA. I wouldn't be shocked if he's at AAA before the end of the season. I'm not sure if coming up this season is realistic for him, but he's certainly a part of their plans. But that, you know, you can't take anything off the table with this front office. If they find the right move, maybe he's the guy that's moved. If they find the right move, maybe it's Nico Hoerner. I just, like, it's hard to predict because they're looking for pure value. As long as they can win, and they believe it improves the team for 2025, they're going to consider it.
In another transaction, the Cubs trade a couple of prospects to the Blue Jays for hard-throwing right-hander Nate Pearson. Is he a good change of scenery candidate? Because obviously the measurables remain there, even if the stats don't indicate he's any good.
Yeah, his fastball is getting hit too much, but he's got velocity. He's got a great slider. I think they'd like him to throw the slider a little bit more to lefties. There's some delivery things that they're going to work on. Tommy Hotovy compared it to what was going on with Jameson Taillon last year, where lefties were kind of catching the ball a little too early. They could see it a little earlier and were sitting on the fastball and jumping on it. It sounds like a minor delivery tweak. I'm not sure if they'll work on it during the season. Those types of things usually don't want to mess with too much during the season unless you're forced to. I think this may be a pitch usage thing that they'll slowly tweak early on this season, see where that goes, and then do some work in the offseason. But this is a former like top 15 pitching prospect. I mean, I remember when he was about to be drafted, I was getting reports from amateur scouts whose front offices had him in for workouts, and he was just blowing people away, like multiple plus pitches, just nasty stuff. When you have that type of stuff and you're in the bullpen, very often you have the right coaching, you have the right development stuff, you're going to figure something out and be a usable bullpen arm. I'd be surprised if they can't, you know, find a way to maximize him in some way. The Cubs have been pretty good at that. When they have talented relief arms, they usually find a way to make them work or you know, get more out of them. He's certainly ultra talented. He's certainly got the stuff. I think he has the potential to be a high leverage bullpen arm.
Sahadev, as always, we appreciate your time and information. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Take care.
That's Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic, and his podcast, I used to know exactly how to describe it, and now I have to make sure that I'm doing it right. The host of Northside Territory and the Foul Territory TV Network, available on your favorite podcast platform.
You damn right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.